Part 6 from his ordination, till he first began to preach to the Indians at Cross Rixong, among whom he had his most remarkable success. Wednesday, June 13, 1744. Spent some considerable time in writing an account of the Indian affairs to go to Scotland. Some, in conversation with friends. But he enjoyed not much sweetness and satisfaction. Thursday, June 14. Received some particular kindness from friends. And wondered that God should open the hearts of any to treat me with kindness. Saw myself to be unworthy of any favor from God, or any of my fellow men. Was much exercised with pain in my head. However, I determined to set out on my journey towards Delaware in the afternoon. But when the afternoon came, my pain increased exceedingly, so that I was obliged to betake myself to bed. The night following I was greatly distressed with pain and sickness. Was sometimes almost bereaved of the exercise of reason by the extremity of pain. Continued much distressed till Saturday, when I was somewhat relieved by an emetic but was unable to walk abroad till the Monday following, in the afternoon. And still remained very feeble. I often admired the goodness of God, that he did not suffer me to proceed on my journey from this place where I was so tenderly used, and to be sick by the way among strangers. God is very gracious to me, both in health and sickness, and intermingles much mercy with all my afflictions and toils. Enjoyed some sweetness in things divine, in the midst of my pain and weakness. Oh, that I could praise the Lord! On Tuesday, June 19, he set out on his journey home, and in 3 days reached his place, near the forks of Delaware. Performed the journey under much weakness of body, but had comfort in his soul, from day to day in both his weakness of body, and consolation of mind, continued through the week. Lord's Day, June 24. Extremely feeble. Scarce able to walk, however, visited my Indians, and took much pains to instruct them. Labored with some that were much disaffected to Christianity. My mind was much burdened with the weight and difficulty of my work. My whole dependence and hope of success seemed to be on God, who alone I saw could make them willing to receive instruction. My heart was much engaged in prayer, sending up silent requests to God, even while I was speaking to them. Oh, that I could always go in the strength of the Lord! Monday, June 25th. Was something better in health than of late. Was able to spend a considerable part of the day in prayer and close studies. Had more freedom and fervency in prayer than usual of late. Especially longed for the presence of God in my work, and that the poor heathen might be converted. In an evening prayer my faith and hope in God were much raised. To an eye of reason everything that respects the conversion of the heathen is as dark as midnight. And yet I cannot but hope in God for the accomplishment of something glorious among them. My soul longed much for the advancement of the Redeemer's kingdom on earth. Was very fearful lest I should admit some vain thought, and so lose the sense I then had of divine things. Oh, for an abiding heavenly temper! Tuesday, June 26th in the morning my desire seemed to rise, and ascend up freely to God. Was busy most of the day in translating prayers into the language of the Delaware Indians. Met with great difficulty, by reason that my interpreter was altogether unacquainted with the business. But though I was much discouraged with the extreme difficulty of that work, yet God supported me. And especially in the evening gave me sweet refreshment. In prayer my soul was enlarged, and my faith drawn into sensible exercise. Was enabled to cry to God for my poor Indians. And though the work of their conversion appeared impossible with man, yet with God I saw all things were possible. My faith was much strengthened, by observing the wonderful assistance God afforded his servants Nehemiah and Ezra, in reforming his people, and re-establishing his ancient church. I was much assisted in prayer for dear Christian friends, and for others that I apprehended to be Christless. But was more especially concerned for the poor heathen, and those of my own charge was enabled to be instant in prayer for them, and hoped that God would bow the heavens and come down for their salvation. It seemed to me there could be no impediment sufficient to obstruct that glorious work, seeing the living God, as I strongly hoped, was engaged for it. I continued in a solemn frame, lifting up my heart to God for assistance and grace, that I might be more mortified to this present world, that my whole soul might be taken up continually in concern for the advancement of Christ's kingdom, longed that God would purge me more, that I might be as a chosen vessel to bear his name among the heathens. Continued in this frame till I dropped asleep. Wednesday, June 27th, felt something of the same solemn concern and spirit of prayer that I enjoyed last night. Soon after I rose in the morning, in the afternoon rode several miles to see if I could procure any lands for the poor Indians, that they might live together and be under better advantages for instruction. While I was riding, had a deep sense of the greatness and difficulty of my work. And my soul seemed to rely wholly upon God for success in the diligent and faithful use of means. Saw, with greatest certainty, that the arm of the Lord must be revealed for the help of these poor heathen, if ever they were delivered from the bondage of the powers of darkness. Spent most of the time, while riding, in lifting up my heart for grace and assistance. Thursday, June 28th. Spent the morning in reading several parts of the Holy Scripture, and in fervent prayer for my Indians, that God would set up his kingdom among them, and bring them into his church. About 9 I withdrew to my usual place of retirement in the woods, and there again enjoyed some assistance in prayer. My great concern was for the conversion of the heathen to God, and the Lord helped me to plead with him for it. Towards noon rode up to the Indians, in order to preach to them. And while going, my heart went up to God in prayer for them. Could freely tell God, he knew that the cause was not mine, which I was engaged in. But it was his own cause, and it would be for his own glory to convert the poor Indians, and blessed be God, I felt no desire of their conversion, that I might receive honor from the world, as being the instrument of it. Had some freedom in speaking to the Indians. The next day he speaks of some serious concern for the kingdom of the blessed Redeemer, but complains much of barrenness, wanderings, inactivity, etc. Saturday, June 30th. My soul was very solemn in reading God's word, especially the 9th chapter of Daniel. I saw how God had called out his servants to prayer, and made them wrestle with him, when he designed to bestow any great mercy on his church. And, alas! I was ashamed of myself, to think of my dullness and inactivity, when there seemed to be so much to do for the upbuilding of Zion. Oh, how does Zion lie waste! I longed that the church of God might be enlarged, was enabled to pray, I think, in faith. My soul seemed sensibly to confide in God, and was enabled to wrestle with him. Afterwards walked abroad to a place of sweet retirement, and enjoyed some assistance in prayer again. Had a sense of my great need of divine help, and felt my soul sensibly depend on God. Blessed be God, this has been a comfortable week to me. Lord's Day, July 1st in the morning, was perplexed with wandering, vain thoughts. Was much grieved, judged and condemned myself before God. And oh, how miserable did I feel, because I could not live to God. At 10, rode away with a heavy heart, to preach to my Indians. Upon the road I attempted to lift up my heart to God, but was infested with an unsettled, wandering frame of mind, and was exceeding restless and perplexed, and filled with shame and confusion before God. I seemed to myself to be more brutish than any man, and thought none deserved to be cast out of God's presence so much as one if I attempted to lift up my heart to God, as I frequently did. By the way, on a sudden, before I was aware, my thoughts were wandering to the ends of the earth, and my soul was filled with surprise and anxiety to find it thus. Thus also after I came to the Indians my mind was confused, and I felt nothing sensibly of that sweet reliance on God that my soul has been comforted with in days past. Spent the forenoon in this posture of mind, and preached to the Indians without any heart. In the afternoon I felt still barren, when I began to preach. And for about half an hour, I seemed to myself to know nothing, and to have nothing to say to the Indians. But soon after I found in myself a spirit of love, and warmth, and power, to address the poor Indians. And God helped me to plead with them, to turn from all the vanities of the heathen, to the living God, and I am persuaded the Lord touched their consciences. For I never saw such attention raised in them before. And when I came away from them, I spent the whole time while I was riding to my lodgings, 3 miles distant, in prayer and praise to God. And after I had rode more than 2 miles, it came into my mind to dedicate myself to God again, which I did with great solemnity and unspeakable satisfaction. Especially gave up myself to and renewed in the work of the ministry. And this I did by divine grace, I hope, without any exception or reserve, not in the least shrinking back from any difficulties that might attend this great and blessed work. I seemed to be most free, cheerful, and full in this dedication of myself. My whole soul cried, Lord, to Thee I dedicate myself. O accept of me, and let me be Thine forever. Lord, I desire nothing else, I desire nothing more. O come, come, Lord, accept a poor worm. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides Thee. After this, was enabled to praise God with my whole soul, that He had enabled me to devote and consecrate all my powers to Him in this solemn manner. My heart rejoiced in my particular work as a missionary. Rejoiced in my necessity of self-denial in many respects. And still continued to give up myself to God, and implore mercy of Him. Praying incessantly, every moment, with sweet fervency. My nature being very weak of late, and much spent, was now considerably overcome. My fingers grew very feeble, and somewhat numb, so that I could scarcely stretch them out straight. And when I alighted from my horse, could hardly walk, my joints seemed all to be loosed. But I felt abundant strength in the inner man. Preached to the white people, God helped me much, especially in prayer. Sundry of my poor Indians were so moved as to come to meeting also. And one appeared much concerned. Monday, July 2nd. Had some relish of the divine comforts of yesterday. But could not get that warmth and exercise of faith that I desired. Had sometimes a distressing sense of my past follies, and present ignorance and barrenness, and especially in the afternoon, was sunk down under a load of sin and guilt, in that I had lived so little to God, after His abundant goodness to me yesterday. In the evening, though very weak, was enabled to pray with fervency, and to continue instant in prayer, near an hour. My soul mourned over the power of its corruption, and longed exceedingly to be washed and purged as with hyssop. Was enabled to pray for my dear absent friends, Christ's ministers, and His church. And enjoyed much freedom and fervency, but not so much comfort, by reason of guilt and shame before God judged and condemned myself for the follies of the day. Tuesday, July 3rd. Was still very weak. This morning was unable to pray under a feeling sense of my need of help from God, and, I trust, had some faith in exercise. And, blessed be God, was unable to plead with Him a considerable time. Truly God is good to me. But my soul mourned, and was grieved at my sinfulness and barrenness, and longed to be more engaged for God. Near 9 withdrew again for prayer. And through divine goodness, had the blessed spirit of prayer. My soul loved the duty, and longed for God in it. Oh, it is sweet to be the Lord's, to be sensibly devoted to Him. What a blessed portion is God! How glorious, how lovely in Himself! Oh, my soul longed to improve time wholly for God. Spent most of the day in translating prayers into Indian, and the evening was enabled again to wrestle with God in prayer with fervency. Was unable to maintain a self-diffident and watchful frame of spirit, in the evening, and was jealous and afraid lest I should admit carelessness and self-confidence. The next day he seems to have had special assistance and fervency most of the day, but in a less degree than the preceding day. Tuesday was spent in great bodily weakness. Yet seems to have been spent in continual and exceeding painfulness in religion. But in great bitterness of spirit by reason of his vileness and corruption. He says, I thought there was not one creature living so vile as one. Oh, my inward pollution! Oh, my guilt and shame before God! I know not what to do. Oh, I longed ardently to be cleansed and washed from the stains of inward pollution. Oh, to be made like God, or rather to be made fit for God to own. Friday, July 6th. Awoke this morning in the fear of God, soon called to mind my sadness in the evening past, and spent my first waking minutes in prayer for sanctification, that my soul may be washed from its exceeding pollution and defilement. After I rose, I spent some time in reading God's word and in prayer. I cried to God under a sense of my great indigency. I am, of late, most of all concerned for ministerial qualifications, and the conversion of the heathen. Last year I longed to be prepared for a world of glory, and speedily to depart out of this world. But of late all my concern almost is for the conversion of the heathen. And for that end I long to live. But blessed be God, I have less desire to live for any of the pleasures of the world than ever I had. I long and love to be a pilgrim, and want grace to imitate the life, labors, and sufferings of St. Paul among the heathen. And when I long for holiness now, it is not so much for myself as formerly, but rather that thereby I may become an able minister of the New Testament, especially to the heathen. Spent about 2 hours this morning in reading and prayer by turns, and was in a watchful, tender frame, afraid of everything that might cool my affections and draw away my heart from God. Was a little strengthened in my studies, but near night was very weak and weary. Saturday, July 7th. Was very much disordered this morning, and my vigor all spent and exhausted, but was affected and refreshed in reading the sweet story of Elijah's translation, and enjoyed some affection and fervency in prayer. Longed much for ministerial gifts and graces, that I might do something in the cause of God. Afterwards was refreshed and invigorated, while reading Mr. Joseph Allen's First Case of Conscience, etc., and enabled then to pray with some ardor of soul, and was afraid of carelessness and self-confidence, and longed for holiness. Lord's Day, July 8th. Was ill last night, not able to rest quietly. Had some small degree of assistance in preaching to the Indians. And afterwards was enabled to preach to the white people with some power, especially in the close of my discourse, from Jeremiah 3:23. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills, etc. The Lord also assisted me in some measure in the first prayer, blessed be His name. Near night, though very weary, was enabled to read God's word with some sweet relish of it, and to pray with affection, fervency, and I trust with faith. My soul was more sensibly dependent on God than usual. Was watchful, tender, and jealous of my own heart, lest I should admit carelessness and vain thoughts, and grieve the blessed Spirit, so that He should withdraw His sweet, kind, and tender influences. Longed to depart, and be with Christ, more than at any time of late. My soul was exceedingly united to the saints of ancient times, as well as those now living. Especially my soul melted for the society of Elijah and Elisha. Was enabled to cry to God with a childlike spirit, and to continue instant in prayer for some time. Was much enlarged in the sweet duty of intercession. Was enabled to remember great numbers of dear friends, and precious souls, as well as Christ's ministers. Continued in this frame, afraid of every idle thought, till I dropped asleep. Monday, July 9th. Was under much illness of body most of the day, and not able to sit up the whole day. Towards night felt a little better. Then spent some time in reading God's word and prayer. Enjoyed some degree of fervency and affection. Was enabled to plead with God for His cause and kingdom and, through divine goodness, it was apparent to me that it was His cause I pleaded for, and not my own. And was enabled to make this an argument with God to answer my requests. Tuesday, July 10th. Was very ill, and full of pain, and very dull and spiritless. In the evening had an affecting sense of my ignorance, etc., and of my need of God at all times, to do everything for me. And my soul was humbled before God. Wednesday, July 11th. Was still exercised with illness and pain. Had some degree of affection and warmth in prayer and reading God's word. Longed for Abraham's faith and fellowship with God. And felt some resolution to spend all my time for God, and to exert myself with more fervency in this service. But found my body weak and feeble in the afternoon, though very ill, was unable to spend some considerable time in prayer. Spent indeed most of the day in that exercise. And my soul was diffident, watchful, and tender, lest I should offend my blessed friend, in thought or behavior. I am persuaded my soul confided in, and leaned upon, the blessed God. Oh, what need did I see myself to stand in of God at all times, to assist me and lead me? Found a great want of strength and vigor, both in the outward and inner man. The exercises and experiences that he speaks of in the next 9 days are very similar to those of the preceding days of the Senda foregoing week. A sense of his own weakness, ignorance, unprofitableness, and vileness. Loathing and abhorring himself. Self-diffidence. Sense of the greatness of his work, and his great need of divine help, and the extreme danger of self-confidence. Longing for holiness and humility, and to be fitted for his work, and to live to God. And longing for the conversion of the Indians. And these things to a very great degree. Saturday, July 21st. This morning I was greatly oppressed with guilt and shame, from a sense of inward vileness and pollution. About 9, withdrew to the woods for prayer. But had not much comfort. I appeared to myself the vilest, meanest creature upon earth, and could scarcely live with myself. So mean and vile I appeared, that I thought I should never be able to hold up my face in heaven, if God of His infinite grace should bring me thither. Towards night my burden respecting my work among the Indians began to increase much, and was aggravated by hearing sundry things that looked very discouraging. In particular, that they intended to meet together the next day for an idolatrous feast and dance. Then I began to be in anguish. I thought I must in conscience go, and endeavor to break them up, and knew not how to attempt such a thing. However, I withdrew for prayer, hoping for strength from above. And in prayer I was exceedingly enlarged, and my soul was as much drawn out as ever I remember it to have been in my life, or near. I was in such anguish, and pleaded with so much earnestness and importunity, that when I rose from my knees I felt extremely weak and overcome. I could scarcely walk straight, my joints were loosed, the sweat ran down my face and body, and nature seemed as if it would dissolve. So far as I could judge, I was wholly free from selfish ends in my fervent supplications for the poor Indians. I knew they were met together to worship devils, and not God. And this made me cry earnestly, that God would now appear, and help me in my attempts to break up this idolatrous meeting. My soul pleaded long. And I thought God would hear, and would go with me to vindicate His own cause. I seemed to confide in God for His presence and assistance. And thus I spent the evening praying incessantly for divine assistance, and that I might not be self-dependent, but still have my whole dependence upon God. What I passed through was remarkable, and indeed inexpressible. All things here below vanished. And there appeared to be nothing of any considerable importance to me, but holiness of heart and life, and the conversion of the heathen to God. All my cares, fears, and desires, which might be said to be of a worldly nature, disappeared, and were, in my esteem, of little more importance than a puff of wind. I exceedingly longed that God would get to Himself a name among the heathen, and I appealed to Him with the greatest freedom, that He knew I preferred Him above my chief joy. Indeed, I had no notion of joy from this world. I cared not where or how I lived, or what hardships I went through, so that I could but gain souls to Christ. I continued in this frame all the evening and night. While I was asleep, I dreamed of these things. And when I waked, as I frequently did, the first thing I thought of was this great work of pleading for God against Satan. Lord's Day, July 22nd. When I waked, my soul was burdened with what seemed to be before me. I cried to God before I could get out of my bed, and as soon as I was dressed, I withdrew into the woods, to pour out my burdened soul to God, especially for assistance in my great work. For I could scarcely think of anything else. I enjoyed the same freedom and fervency as the last evening, and did with unspeakable freedom give up myself afresh to God, for life or death, for all hardships He should call me to among the heathen, and felt as if nothing could discourage me from this blessed work. I had a strong hope that God would bow the heavens and come down, and do some marvelous work among the heathen. And when I was riding to the Indians, 3 miles, my heart was continually going up to God for His presence and assistance, and hoping, and almost expecting, that God would make this the day of His power and grace amongst the poor Indians. When I came to them, I found them engaged in their frolic. But through divine goodness I got them to break up and attend to my preaching, yet still there appeared nothing of the special power of God among them. Preached again to them in the afternoon. and observed the Indians were more sober than before but still saw nothing special among them. From whence Satan took occasion to tempt and buffet me with these cursed suggestions, there is no God, or if there be, he is not able to convert the Indians before they have more knowledge, etc. I was very weak and weary, and my soul borne down with perplexity, but was mortified to all the world, and was determined still to wait upon God for the conversion of the heathen, though the devil tempted me to the contrary. Monday, July 23rd. Retained still a deep and pressing sense of what lay with so much weight upon me yesterday, but was more calm and quiet. Enjoyed freedom and composure, after the temptations of the last evening had sweet resignation to the divine will, and desired nothing so much as the conversion of the heathen to God, and that his kingdom might come in my own heart, and the hearts of others. Rode to a settlement of Irish people, about 15 miles southwestward. Spent my time in prayer and meditation by the way. Near night preached from Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, etc. God was pleased to afford me some degree of freedom and fervency. Blessed be God for any measure of assistance. Tuesday, July 24th. Rode about 17 miles westward over a hideous mountain, to a number of Indians. Got together near 30 of them, preached to them in the evening, and lodged among them. Was weak, and felt in some degree disconsolate. Yet could have no freedom in the thought of any other circumstances or business in life. All my desire was the conversion of the heathen, and all my hope was in God. God does not suffer me to please or comfort myself with hopes of seeing friends, returning to my dear acquaintance, and enjoying worldly comforts. The next day he preached to these Indians again, and then returned to the Irish settlement, and there preached to a numerous congregation. There was a considerable appearance of awakening in the congregation. Thursday he returned home, exceedingly fatigued and spent. Still in the same frame of mortification to the world, and solicitous for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. And on this day he says thus, I have felt this week more of the spirit of a pilgrim on earth than perhaps ever before. And yet so desirous to see Zion's prosperity, that I was not so willing to leave the scene of sorrows as I used to be. The two remaining days of the week he was very ill, and complains of wanderings, dullness, and want of spiritual fervency and sweetness. On the Sabbath he was confined by illness, not able to go out to preach. After this, his illness increased upon him, and he continued very ill all the week. And says, that he thought he never before endured such a season of distressing weakness. And that his nature was so spent, that he could neither stand, sit, nor lie with any quiet. And that he was exercised with extreme faintness and sickness at his stomach. And that his mind was as much disordered as his body, seeming to be stupid, and without any kind of affections towards all objects. And yet perplexed, to think that he lived for nothing, that precious time rolled away, and he could do nothing but trifle, and speaks of it as a season wherein Satan buffeted him with some peculiar temptations. Concerning the next 5 days he writes thus, on Lord's Day, August 5th, was still very poor. But, though very weak, I visited and preached to the poor Indians twice, and was strengthened vastly beyond my expectations. And indeed, the Lord gave me some freedom and fervency in addressing them. Though I had not strength enough to stand, but was obliged to sit down the whole time. Towards night was extremely weak, faint, sick, and full of pain. And thus I have continued much in the same state that I was in last week, through the most of this, it being now Friday, unable to engage in any business. Frequently unable to pray in the family. I am obliged to let all my thoughts and concerns run at random. For I have neither strength to read, meditate, or pray, and this naturally perplexes my mind. I seem to myself like a man that has all his estate embarked in one small boat, unhappily going adrift, down a swift torrent. The poor owner stands on the shore, and looks, and laments his loss. But, alas! Though my all seems to be adrift, and I stand and see it, I dare not lament. For this sinks my spirits more, and aggravates my bodily disorders. I am forced therefore to divert myself with trifles. Although at the same time I am afraid, and often feel as if I was guilty of the misimprovement of time. and oftentimes my conscience is so exercised with this miserable way of spending time that I have no peace. Though I have no strength of mind or body to improve it to better purpose. Oh, that God would pity my distressed state! The next 3 weeks after this his illness was not so extreme. He was in some degree capable of business, both public and private. Although he had some turns wherein his indisposition prevailed to a great degree. He also in this space had, for the most part, much more inward assistance, and strength of mind. He often expresses great longings for the enlargement of Christ's kingdom, especially by the conversion of the heathen to God, and speaks of this hope as all his delight and joy. He continues still to express his usual longings after holiness, living to God, and a sense of his own unworthiness. He several times speaks of his appearing to himself the vilest creature on earth, and once says, that he verily thought there were none of God's children who fell so far short of that holiness and perfection in their obedience which God requires, as he. He speaks of his feeling more dead than ever to the enjoyments of the world. He sometimes mentions the special assistance he had, this space of time, in preaching to the Indians, and of appearances of religious concern among them. He speaks also of assistance in prayer for absent friends, and especially ministers and candidates for the ministry. And of much comfort he enjoyed in the company of some ministers who came to visit him. Saturday, September 1st, was so far strengthened, after a season of great weakness, that I was able to spend 2 or 3 hours in writing on a divine subject. Enjoyed some comfort and sweetness in things divine and sacred, and as my bodily strength was in some measure restored, so my soul seemed to be somewhat vigorous, and engaged in the things of God. Lord's Day, September 2nd. Was unable to speak to my poor Indians with much concern and fervency. And I am persuaded God enabled me to exercise faith in Him, while I was speaking to them. I perceived that some of them were afraid to hearken to and embrace Christianity, lest they should be enchanted and poisoned by some of the powwows, but I was unable to plead with them not to fear these. And confiding in God for safety and deliverance, I bid a challenge to all these powers of darkness. To do their worst upon me first, I told my people I was a Christian, and asked them why the powwows did not bewitch and poison me. I scarcely ever felt more sensible of my own unworthiness, than in this action I saw, that the honor of God was concerned in the affair. And I desired to be preserved not from selfish views, but for a testimony of the divine power and goodness, and of the truth of Christianity, and that God might be glorified. Afterwards I found my soul rejoice in God for His assisting grace. After this he went a journey into New England, and was absent from the place of his abode, at the Forks of Delaware, about 3 weeks. He was in a feeble state the greater part of the time. But in the latter part of the journey he found he gained much in health and strength. And as to the state of his mind, and his religious and spiritual exercises, it was much with him as usual in his journeys. Excepting that the frame of his mind seemed more generally to be comfortable. But yet there are complaints of some uncomfortable seasons, want of fervency, and want of retirements, and time alone with God in his journey, he did not forget the Indians. But once and again speaks of his longing for their conversion. Wednesday, September 26th. Rode home to the Forks of Delaware. What reason have I to bless God, who has preserved me in riding more than 420 miles, and has kept all my bones, that not one of them has been broken. My health likewise is greatly recovered. Oh, that I could dedicate my all to God! This is all the return I can make to Him. Thursday, September 27th. Was somewhat melancholy. Had not much freedom and comfort in prayer. My soul is disconsolate when God is withdrawn. Friday, September 28th. Spent the day in prayer, reading, and writing, felt some small degree of warmth in prayer, and some desires of the enlargement of Christ's kingdom by the conversion of the heathen, and that God would make me a chosen vessel, to bear His name before them. Long for grace to enable me to be faithful. The next day he speaks of the same longings for the advancement of Christ's kingdom, and the conversion of the Indians. But complains greatly of the ill effects of the diversions of his late journey, as in fixing his mind from that degree of engagedness, fervency, watchfulness, etc., which he enjoyed before. and the like complaints are continued the day after. Monday, October 1st. Was engaged this day in making preparation for my intended journey to Susquehanna, withdrew several times to the woods for secret duties, and endeavor to plead for the divine presence to go with me to the poor pagans, to whom I was going to preach the gospel. Towards night rode about 4 miles, and met Brother Birm, who was come, at my desire, to be my companion in travel to the Indians. I rejoiced to see him. And, I trust, God made his conversation profitable to me. I saw him, as I thought, more dead to the world, its anxious cares and alluring objects, than I was. And this made me look within myself, and gave me a greater sense of my guilt, ingratitude, and misery. Tuesday, October 2nd. Set out on my journey, in company with dear Brother Birum, and my interpreter, and 2 chief Indians from the Forks of Delaware. Traveled about 25 miles, and lodged in one of the last houses on our road. After which there was nothing but a hideous and howling wilderness. Wednesday, October 3rd. We went on our way into the wilderness, and found the most difficult and dangerous traveling, by far, that ever any of us had seen. We had scarce anything else but lofty mountains, deep valleys, and hideous rocks, to make our way through. However, I felt some sweetness in divine things, part of the day, and had my mind intensely engaged in meditation on a divine subject. Near night my beast that I rode upon hung one of her legs in the rocks, and fell down under me. But through divine goodness I was not hurt. However, she broke her leg. And being in such a hideous place, and near 30 miles from any house, I saw nothing that could be done to preserve her life, and so was obliged to kill her, and to prosecute my journey on foot. This accident made me admire the divine goodness to me, that my bones were not broken, and the multitude of them filled with strong pain. Just at dark we kindled a fire, cut up a few bushes and made a shelter over our heads, to save us from the frost, which was very hard that night. And committing ourselves to God by prayer, we lay down on the ground, and slept quietly. The next day they went forward on their journey, and at night took up their lodging in the woods in like manner. Friday, October 5th. We arrived at Susquehanna River, at a place called Opalhalprung, found there 12 Indian houses. After I had saluted the king in a friendly manner, I told him my business, and that my desire was to teach them Christianity. After some consultation, the Indians gathered, and I preached to them, and when I had done, I asked if they would hear me again. They replied, that they would consider of it. And soon after sent me word, that they would immediately attend, if I would preach, which I did, with freedom, both times. When I asked them again, whether they would hear me further, they replied, they would the next day. I was exceeding sensible of the impossibility of doing anything for the poor heathen without special assistance from above, and my soul seemed to rest on God, and leave it to him to do as he pleased in that which I saw was his own cause. And indeed, through divine goodness, I had felt something of this frame most of the time while I was traveling thither, and in some measure before I set out. Saturday, October 6th. Rose early and besought the Lord for help in my great work. Near noon preached again to the Indians. And in the afternoon visited them from house to house, and invited them to come and hear me again the next day, and put off their hunting design, which they were just entering upon, till Monday. This night, I trust, the Lord stood by me, to encourage and strengthen my soul. I spent more than an hour in secret retirement. Was unable to pour out my heart before God, for the increase of grace in my soul, for ministerial endowments, for success among the poor Indians, for God's ministers and people, for distant dear friends, etc. Blessed be God. The next day he complains of great want of fixedness and intenseness in religion, so that he could not keep any spiritual thought 1 minute without distraction, which occasioned anguish of spirit. He felt amazingly guilty, and extremely miserable, and cries out, "Oh, my soul, what death it is, to have the affections unable to center in God, by reason of darkness, and consequently roving after that satisfaction elsewhere, that is only to be found here." However, he preached twice to the Indians with some freedom and power, but was afterwards damped by the objections they made against Christianity. In the evening, in a sense of his great defects in preaching, he entreated God not to impute to him blood guiltiness, but yet was at the same time enabled to rejoice in God. Monday, October 8th. Visited the Indians with the design to take my leave of them, supposing they would this morning go out to hunting early. But beyond my expectation and hope, they desired to hear me preach again. I gladly complied with their request, and afterwards indeed were to answer their objections against Christianity. Then they went away. And we spent the rest of the afternoon in reading and prayer, intending to go homeward very early the next day. My soul was in some measure refreshed in secret prayer and meditation. Blessed be the Lord for all His goodness. Tuesday, October 9th. We rose about 4 in the morning, and commending ourselves to God by prayer, and asking His special protection, we set out on our journey homewards about 5, and traveled with great steadiness till past 6 at night. And then made us a fire, and a shelter of barks, and so rested. I had some clear and comfortable thoughts on a divine subject, by the way, towards night. In the night the wolves howled around us. But God preserved us. The next day they rose early, and set forward, and traveled that day till they came to an Irish settlement, with which Mr. Brainerd was acquainted, and lodged there. He speaks of some sweetness in divine things, and thankfulness to God for His goodness to him in this journey, though attended with shame for his barrenness. On Thursday he continued in the same place. And both he and Mr. Byram preached there to the people. Friday, October 12th. Rode home to my lodgings, where I poured out my soul to God in secret prayer, and indeed were to bless Him for His abundant goodness to me in my late journey. I scarce ever enjoyed more health, at least, of later years. And God marvelously, and almost miraculously, supported me under the fatigues of the way, and traveling on foot. Blessed be the Lord, who continually preserves me in all my ways. On Saturday he went again to the Irish settlement, to spend the Sabbath there, his Indians being gone. Lord's Day, October 14th. Was much confused and perplexed in my thoughts. Could not pray. And was almost discouraged, thinking I should never be able to preach any more. Afterwards, God was pleased to give me some relief from these confusions. But still I was afraid, and even trembled before God. I went to the place of public worship, lifting up my heart to God for assistance and grace in my great work, and God was gracious to me, helping me to plead with Him for holiness, and to use the strongest arguments with Him. Drawn from the incarnation and sufferings of Christ for this very end, that man might He made holy. Afterwards I was much assisted in preaching. I know not that ever God helped me to preach in a more close and distinguishing manner for the trial of men's state through the infinite goodness of God, I felt when I spoke. He enabled me to treat on divine truth with uncommon clearness, and yet I was so sensible of my defects in preaching, that I could not be proud of my performance, as at some times. And blessed be the Lord for this mercy. In the evening I longed to be entirely alone, to bless God for help in a time of extremity, and long for great degrees of holiness, that I might show my gratitude to God. The next morning he spent some time before sunrise in prayer, in the same sweet and grateful frame of mind that he had been in the evening before, and afterwards went to his Indians, and spent some time in teaching and exhorting them. Tuesday, October 16th. Felt a spirit of solemnity and watchfulness. Was afraid I should not live to and upon God, long for more intenseness and spirituality. Spent the day in writing. Frequently lifting up my heart to God for more heavenly mindedness. In the evening enjoyed sweet assistance in prayer, and thirsted and pleaded to be as holy as the blessed angels, long for ministerial gifts and graces, and success in my work was sweetly assisted in the duty of intercession, and enabled to remember and plead for numbers of dear friends, and Christ's ministers. He seemed to have much of the same frame of mind the two next days. Friday, October 19th. Felt an amazing sense of my own impurity and unholiness. And felt my soul melt and mourn, that I had abused and grieved a very gracious God, who was still kind to me, notwithstanding all my unworthiness. My soul enjoyed a sweet season of bitter repentance and sorrow, that I had wronged the blessed God, who, I was persuaded, was reconciled to me in His dear Son. My soul was now tender, devout, and solemn. And I was afraid of nothing but sin, and afraid of that in every action and thought. The four next days were manifestly spent in the most constant tenderness, watchfulness, diligence, and self-diffidence. But he complains of wanderings of mind, languor of affections, etc. Wednesday, October 24th. Near noon, rode to my people. Spent some time, and prayed with them, felt the frame of a pilgrim on earth. Longed much to leave this gloomy mansion, but yet found the exercise of patience and resignation. And as I returned home from the Indians, spent the whole time in lifting up my heart to God in the evening, enjoyed a blessed season alone in prayer. Was unable to cry to God with a childlike spirit, for the space of near an hour. Enjoyed a sweet freedom in supplicating for myself, for dear friends, ministers, and some who are preparing for that work, and for the Church of God. Amid long to be as lively myself in God's service as the angels. Thursday, October 25th. Was busy in writing. Was very sensible of my absolute dependence on God in all respects. Saw that I could do nothing, even in those affairs that I have sufficient natural faculties for, unless God should smile upon my attempt. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves, to think anything as of ourselves, I saw was a sacred truth. Friday, October 26th, in the morning my soul was melted with a sense of divine goodness and mercy to such a vile and worthy worm. I delighted to lean upon God, and place my whole trust in Him. My soul was exceedingly grieved for sin, and prized and longed after holiness. It wounded my heart deeply, yet sweetly, to think how I had abused a kind God. I longed to be perfectly holy, that I might not grieve a gracious God, who will continue to love, notwithstanding His love is abused. I longed for holiness more for this end, than I did for my own happiness' sake, and yet this was my greatest happiness, never more to dishonor, but always to glorify, the blessed God. Afterwards rode up to the Indians, in the afternoon, etc. The four next days he was exercised with much disorder and pain of body, with a degree of melancholy and gloominess of mind, bitterly complaining of deadness and unprofitableness, yet mourning and longing after God. Wednesday, October 31st. Was sensible of my barrenness and decays in the things of God. My soul failed when I remembered the fervency I had enjoyed at the throne of grace. Oh, I thought, if I could but be spiritual, warm, heavenly-minded, and affectionately breathing after God, this would be better than life to me. My soul longed exceedingly for death, to be loosed from this dullness and barrenness, and made forever active in the service of God. I seemed to live for nothing, and to do no good, and oh, the burden of such a life. Oh, death, death, my kind friend, hasten, and deliver me from dull mortality, and make me spiritual and vigorous to eternity. Thursday, November 1st. Had but little sweetness in divine things. But afterwards, in the evening, felt some life, and longings after God. I longed to be always solemn, devout, and heavenly minded, and was afraid to leave off praying, lest I should again lose a sense of the sweet things of God. Friday, November 2nd. Was filled with sorrow and confusion in the morning, and could enjoy no sweet sense of divine things, nor get any relief in prayer. Saw I deserved that every one of God's creatures should be let loose, to be the executioners of His wrath against me. And yet therein saw I deserved what I did not fear as my portion. About noon rode up to the Indians. And while going could feel no desires for them, and even dreaded to say anything to them. But God was pleased to give me some freedom and enlargement, and made the season comfortable to me in the evening had enlargement in prayer. But, alas! What comfort and enlargements I have felt for these many weeks past, have been only transient and short. And the greater part of my time has been filled up with deadness, or struggles with deadness, and bitter conflicts with corruption. I have found myself exercised sorely with some particular things that I thought myself most of all freed from. And thus I have ever found it, when I have thought the battle was over, and the conquest gained, and so let down my watch, the enemy has risen up and done me the greatest injury. Saturday, November 3rd. I read The Life and Trials of a Godly Man, and was much warmed by it. I wondered at my past deadness. and was more convinced of it than ever. Was unable to confess and bewail my sin before God, with self-abhorrence. Lord's Day, November 4th. Had, I think, some exercise of faith and prayer in the morning long to be spiritual. Had considerable help in preaching to my poor Indians, was encouraged with them, and hoped that God designed mercy for them. The next day he set out on a journey to New York, to the meeting of the presbytery there, and was from home more than a fortnight. He seemed to enter on his journey with great reluctance, fearing that the diversions of it would prove a means of cooling his religious affections, as he had found in other journeys. But yet in this journey he had some special seasons wherein he enjoyed extraordinary evidences and fruits of God's gracious presence. He was greatly fatigued and exposed to cold and storms, and when he returned from New York to New Jersey, on Friday, was taken very ill, and was detained by his illness some time. Wednesday, November 21st. Rode from Newark to Roxeticus in the cold, and was almost overcome with it. Enjoyed some sweetness in conversation with dear Mr. Jones. While I dined with him, my soul loved the people of God, and especially the ministers of Jesus Christ, who feel the same trials that I do. Thursday, November 22nd. Came on my way from Roxeticus to Delaware River. Was very much disordered with a cold and pain in my head. About 6 at night I lost my way in the wilderness, and wandered over rocks and mountains, down hideous steeps, through swamps, and most dreadful and dangerous places. And the night being dark, so that few stars could be seen, I was greatly exposed. I was much pinched with cold, and distressed with an extreme pain in my head, attended with sickness at my stomach, so that every step I took was distressing to me. I had little hope for several hours together, but that I must lie out in the woods all night, in this distressed case. But about 9 o'clock I found a house, through the abundant goodness of God, and was kindly entertained. Thus I have frequently been exposed, and sometimes lain out the whole night. But God has hitherto preserved me. And blessed be his name. Such fatigues and hardships as these serve to wean me more from the earth. And, I trust, will make heaven the sweeter. Formerly, when I was thus exposed to cold, rain, etc., I was ready to please myself with the thought of enjoying a comfortable house, a warm fire, and other outward comforts. But now these have less place in my heart, through the grace of God, and my eye is more to God for comfort in this world. I expect tribulation. And it does not now, as formerly, appear strange to me. I do not in such seasons of difficulty flatter myself that it will be better hereafter. But rather think, how much worse it might be. How much greater trials others of God's children have endured. And how much greater are yet perhaps reserved for me. Blessed be God, that he makes the thoughts of my journeys and end of my dissolution a great comfort to me, under my sharpest trials. And scarce ever lets these thoughts be attended with terror or melancholy. But they are attended frequently with great joy.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwaters Revival Books.